Hey everybody, welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, and boy do I have a treat for you today. I've got Emily Berge. She's Bergalicious, like Fergalicious. Emily, welcome.
Thanks, Kristen. Thanks for having me. It's really great to be with you.
I'm so excited about what you are doing in Western Wisconsin. You are running for Wisconsin's 3rd District Congressional District, the district that showed up so blue in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, which we knew that it was a swing district before, but wow, how are you feeling after that recent election?
Yeah, well, it's great news. I was just shocked. I was at a watch party Tuesday night, and within 5 minutes, they called it for Chris Taylor. I'm like, whoa, that was quick. So, yeah. But we had some local races, though, we were keeping an eye on. But all of that went really well, too. So, and I guess I was surprised at the quickness of how the results came out. But I'm not surprised. I've been out in the district for the last year, and I am not surprised at all about the elections and just how fired up people are. And it's not even, I mean, yes, yay, people came out to vote. Awesome. That's what we need. But it's the organizing that's been happening on the ground for the last year that I have been seeing throughout all the counties, the 19 counties. And like that, this is what that is. These are the people that are standing on overpasses in, you know, 0-degree weather. These are the people that meet weekly at the downtown farmers market or post office in Stevens Point. You know, like it's that energy that's what, and then they're outdoor knocking too. And they're talking to folks and they're posting on social media. Like that's what we saw Tuesday night. So it's amazing that the grassroots energy, like that's what it's about. And I know that. And then you like see the evidence, like, see, it is about the people.
Well, and this is what you do, right? This is your whole history. You are the grassroots person. I mean, you came from Eau Claire, where you've done some really remarkable things in the city of Eau Claire. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to this point where you decided, hey, you know what? I think I'm gonna run for Congress.
I know, yeah, it's crazy. So I actually started, 10 years ago, my why for running for Congress started about 10 years ago when Trump was elected the first time. I mean, can you believe it's been 10 years, which is just wild. But it really changed my life when he was elected. I've always voted, but was never involved politically. But when our country elected him, someone that sexually assaults women, who talks about women in horrible ways, talks about people of color in horrible ways, he leads by instilling fear and as a bully. And back then, you know, we saw it. And I knew, like, my kids were little at that time, like 7 and 10. And I'm like, those aren't the values I'm raising my kids with. That's not how I was raised. Like, we cannot have this. And so I just, another fun fact is I used to do like ultra marathons. And so I was actually on I was training for a 50 mile run, which is crazy, but I was on a 20 mile training run in early January. So that would be 2017. And I was just like, I have to do something. I have to do something. And I decided then on that run, like, okay, I'm just going to be the change I want to see in the world. Like, what is that? You know? And I got involved and I went to the Women's March like the weekend after. And then I came back and got involved with Indivisible. And that's, again, back in 2017 when everything was just starting, you know, and that's how I cut my political teeth, as you say, in organizing. And I just met all these wonderful people. Because I didn't know, like, I didn't decide to run for Congress 10 years ago. Like, I didn't know what a CD was, you know? You know, I didn't know. I knew who Ron Kind was, but I didn't understand. Was he at the state? Like, it's so confusing. You probably know this too, Kristen. Like, if you're not in it, like, if you're in it, you understand it. But if you're not in it, it's very overwhelming and intimidating and confusing. And so I learned a lot. I jumped in, started organizing, and then people said, Emily, we need you to run for council. You know, there's a Trump run council in your seat, my district seat. Like, we got to get him out of there. I'm like, all right, let's do it. And because that's what about me is I go where I'm needed. I step where I need to step up where I'm needed. And again, it's that same vein of being the change. Like, well, this is my chance to be that leader in this realm, you know, on city council. And I door knocked every weekend from January to April, and I won that seat against an incumbent by about 26 points. It was just like, again, showing up, organizing, talking to people. it works, you know. And then I've been on council for the last 8 years. I was elected city council president 3 years ago because we don't have a mayor in Eau Claire. So I'm elected like a mayor. I had a citywide ballot. So I was elected as city council president. So I've been doing that for the last 3 years until, you know, last night there was an election for my seat because I'm not running for council because I'm running for Congress now. But so I have a couple more weeks until the new Jeremy Gregert was sworn in, which is, he's great. Or until he is sworn in, then I'll hand over the gavel to him. But I guess to bring it to Congress, that's why I'm running for Congress too. So even though it started 10 years ago, to my dedication to serve my community and to, well, in a political way, I've always volunteered. I was in AmeriCorps. I volunteered in high school down in Appalachia, like fixing up homes. I did flood relief in North Dakota. So I've always served my community, but in this political realm and being this change, being the leader that we deserve, like that my kids deserve, that our community deserves, like that's why I'm running for Congress, because I'm running up against Derek Van Orden and like he doesn't cut it. He's not doing it. We deserve better. And you know, I'm running against Rebecca Cook and she's lost this race twice. And I'm like, well, we need to win. We need to win and flip the seat. So, you know, that's why I'm running.
Let's talk more about that primary competition, because that comes first and you got to win that before you get to face angry Derek Van Orden. And like you said, Becca Cook has run this race twice before. She is the DC fundraiser. She is the DC darling. But you are the grassroots person. You just described your entire journey here, which is authentic and hard fought. And it's about door knocking and talking to the people. But it's an entirely different, like she's coming from here and you're coming from here. Why is it that your strategy is going to win this time?
Yeah, because people are sick of it. They're sick of the establishment. You know, I'll share this, which I've just started hearing openly, actually. But a year ago, it's kind of weird. It's been about a year. A year ago, I talked to local folks and they encouraged me to run. And they're just like, yeah, but like, they were like, you just have to talk to DC. I'm like, okay, I'll talk to DC. And they're like, no, we have our candidate. We don't want a primary. Like we've already invested in her. It's like a racehorse or something. You know, we've already invested in her. We've already sunk all this money into her, even though she lost, you know, and like twice. She's a good fundraiser. Yes, twice. But she's a good fundraiser. She is a good fundraiser. Like that's her background. That's her career. She's done political fundraising for years. That's how she's built like her career. So yes. And so they're like, she's a fundraiser. We don't want a primary, like, you know, and that, but that I'll tell you, that's what solidified my decision to run, because they don't get to decide who represents us. They don't even like live here. They're in DC making these decisions behind closed doors. Like for them, it's just a nameplate. For them, it's just one more person that they can control. But us in Western and Central Wisconsin, we get to choose. We get to choose our representative, because it's like when we're making a policy, like at the federal level, that impacts us here.
It sure does.
That, you know, and yeah, so I can go on, but no, that's why. And people, that's my message. Like we need to show them in August that we are not for sale, that our representative listens to the people, not DC donors, not California millionaires and billionaires, not the DC establishment. Our representative needs to answer to Western and Central Wisconsin. And that's how I'm running my campaign. And that's who I will be. That's just who I am. So.
The people of Wisconsin have shown over the last couple of years that we are not for sale. I mean, remember when Elon showed up a year ago with the big publishers' clearinghouse checks and he put on the cheese hat and gave away millions of dollars, and still Wisconsinites push back. We saw that in the most recent election as well. And I truly believe that. And I think that your voters in Western and West Central Wisconsin, they are not Republicans and they're not Democrats. I mean, certainly there are some people who always vote that allegiance, but I think most people in that part of the state are going to vote for the person that they believe in. So here's my question. It's a huge district. How do you get out to all of those communities and knock on those doors and do that grassroots kind of campaigning that you've been doing in Eau Claire, but you got to cover so much more ground now?
Yeah. It's 19 counties. So it's a lot, but it's just, I mean, we're not door knocking yet. I helped with Chris Taylor in local elections. So I did some door knocking there, but that was for them. But really it's just driving to these little small areas and showing up. So like Look at this week, for example. Monday, I had a meet and greet here Monday night. It was a lot of, like, very family orientated. So there's like babies and kids, and it was super fun. And then Tuesday was election night watch party that I was at. Wednesday last night, I was down in Hillsboro at the Hillsboro Brewing and had a packed house there. Tonight, I'll be in. Yes, it's awesome. Tonight, I'll be in Osseo at a farm in Osseo. Friday, nothing. Well, nothing. No events. Saturday, I'll be in Wisconsin Rapids at a bowling alley. Sunday, another event here in Eau Claire. Again, a very family-oriented one, kind of centered around childcare. So, like, you just show up. Like, I've been everywhere. I was in Platteville last week, Livingston, which is, like, these are red areas, too. But where I go, like, people are showing up, and it's not the same old people. Like, that's what's amazing. My campaign manager is just remarking that, like, it's not – a lot of times, like, when you have events, when candidates have events, it's like the same people show up. But for my event, like, different people are showing up, and it's all ages, young. And we had 20-year-olds last night in Hillsboro, all the way up to, you know, 70, 80-year-olds, you know, and men, women, you know, LGBTQ folks, like, just all different backgrounds. You know, Palestinian was the, you know, his background's in Palestine, like all different races, like, they're showing up for my events. And again, that's rare, but that's why I wasn't surprised Tuesday. But if you show up, people will come, you know, like, you just have to show up. And that's how I'm doing it. I'm just driving everywhere, meeting people. And maybe it's one-on-one, like, you know, DC probably doesn't, they probably look at it like, well, you need to be on the phones. You know, they told me that, you know, you need to be on the phones 50 hours a week. Well, instead, I'm driving 2 hours to Toma to meet with a man, you know, and had coffee with him for an hour and a half. And then I drove 2 hours back, which is not inefficient, but it was a great conversation. And now he's going around telling everyone, he's an independent, you know, former, like, he's a, you know, he was in the service, he's a veteran. Like, now he's going around telling everyone about me, because, like, people just want people to listen to them and show up. And that's what I'm doing. Like, it's not all about, I mean, I know fundraising is important, but to spend 50 hours a week on the phones talking to folks, like, get me out to the people. And then, and it's working. So, yeah. Like, why can't it be that way? Like, yeah, I have a lot more. I'll stop there. Yeah, but I have more to say.
I know. Well, I get it, because, you know, I ran for Congress too, and it's not even 50 hours a week talking to people. It's the dialing, all the messages that you leave. It is the worst use of your time, because the only people you're talking to are people who are going to give you money and who you really want to be talking to. The whole reason you started doing this in the first place is to be with the people. And this is, like, this is so core to who you are, because we haven't even talked about your history. You're a mental health professional. How do you think that ties into your drive to do what you're doing and how you're campaigning and how you will serve once elected?
Yeah, again, so I became, I'm a licensed professional counselor. Again, it's like, I became a counselor because I want to help people, you know, and that's, again, it's who I am, you know, serving my community, serving families, people, kids. So, and I think it's about people. Politics, I believe, is about people, you know, and counseling is about people, and it's about gaining that trust, right? And building that rapport. And also, it's about empowering people. A lot of my counseling is like, just like, I don't do anything special. Like, I'm just like, you got what it takes. You can do this. Like, I'm walking beside you here, like, you know, in our counseling office, but you are doing the work and you are doing it. And okay, that didn't work. All right, let's talk about it. Like, no shame. It's okay. But I'm there, like, empowering them. That's what counseling is. I'm doing that on the campaign trail. We, like, in Wisconsin and 3rd Congressional District, like, we can change. We're a swing district in a swing state. We can change the whole trajectory of our country.
Yes.
Like, that's amazing. Like, that's amazing. And we can do that in August. We get to pick. DC wanted to pick who went up against Derek Van Orden, but we get to pick who the candidate is in August who goes up against Van Orden. And it's up to us. But if you fall for this line of, sorry, BS of, like, it's the biggest fundraiser, and you, like, it's like, you fall for that, then it's going to be same old. But we can do something different. We have a choice here. We have an opportunity to do something different, not only, like, Republican versus Democrat, but not all Democrats are created equal either. Like, we have a choice. I prioritize the people. You can choose a candidate who prioritizes the people or who prioritizes the DC establishment and big dollars. It's up to us. That's what I'm
That's up
telling
to us. You're so right. And to the DC establishment, you said this earlier, but I'll just repeat it. We are just pawns. They're just looking at 435 seats across the country and saying, these are safe. These are safe red. We're not going to touch them. These are the ones we need to play in. And they don't think about the people in Hillsborough or Viroqua.
No.
They're just thinking, we're just going to pour money into this district and we have a person. And I'll tell you personally, people have said to me, why don't you move down to a better district? The first is a better district. You could be a candidate down there. That's not where I live. That's not what the people of Wisconsin would want to elect me to serve. It just doesn't work that way. And that's why you are in a place where you belong, where you know the people, where you have served, where you have actually made policy in a city, in a mid-sized city that you care about, and people recognize that. So can we talk a minute about Eau Claire and some of the things? You haven't been a lifetime politician. It's only been a decade since you first started all of this, but you've done some pretty remarkable things. What's one thing that you've done in Eau Claire that you're really proud of, that you want people to know about?
Yeah, and I love Eau Claire. Like, it's just so special. And we are just a special place. I think the biggest thing I mean, there's lots that I'm proud of. And local government, you can make a lot of difference. And I think, so about 2 years ago-ish, or maybe now three, two and a half, it was after I was elected president, but we were going to welcome refugees. Like, 75 refugees were going to come through World Relief, a nonprofit that had just opened their doors. And they had a meeting, like talk about volunteers and volunteering. Well, Ron Johnson's staffer lives in Eau Claire, and he's an organizer for the Republican Party too. He got word of this, and he started organizing all like 100 miles around Eau Claire, and to like all the different. I don't know if you have patriot groups out there, but we have patriot groups that are very like MAGA, very extreme right. So you start organizing the patriot groups, the St. Croix County Republican Party, which is like an hour and a half away or an hour away. And they started holding these anti-immigration rallies, these anti-refugee rallies. They started coming after me and our community because what they wanted is they wanted me to take this up in City Hall. They wanted us to vote on if we should allow refugees into our city or not. And I said, we council does not get to decide who lives in our city, nor should we. But they came after me and they put my phone number on a billboard and they like said, and it was a horrible, very xenophobic billboard, but they just like attacked our community. And these 75 people that were risking their lives, by the way, to come to, our country, they weren't even in our, they weren't even here in Eau Claire. But what just why I stood up so strong. I think about all the refugees that are in Eau Claire and the immigrants are in Eau Claire. And with every hateful rhetoric that they were spewing, all the hate they were spewing, the things that they were saying about immigrants and refugees, and I don't even want to say it here because it's just terrible, terrible racist things. Like, that was hurting our community. And I could not stand for that. So I stood up again and again and I said, all are welcome in Eau Claire. It doesn't matter where you're from. You can be from Durand, you can be from Stevens Point, you can be from Minneapolis, you can be from the Congo. Like, we welcome you and we want you here. And that was my message again and again, because they throw stuff at you, right? Like, they are accusing me of all this stuff. And it's really important to not get back down. Do not get stuck in a corner. Do not like even answer their lies. Instead, I stood strong and said, all are welcome and okay in Eau Claire. And I just said that again. And because they put my phone number on a billboard, I got calls and I called everyone back. Well, I changed my message first, my outgoing message to say, Emily Bergy, president of Eau Claire City Council, a city where all are welcome. So I first changed my outgoing message to that, but people would leave messages and then I would call them back and I would have conversations with them. And I said, and I just like, all are welcome here. It doesn't matter where you're from. And these people are coming with nothing on their backs. And, like we, after, like you could help them, instead of telling them to go home. But anyways, I think that's what I'm most proud of because Again, leadership, I'm happy to be in this role. I feel like I'm supposed to be in this role, but it can be lonely out front.
Yes.
And when, and I don't know if it's a Midwest thing, but when there's conflict, people scatter. I felt like I was by myself, which was fine. I am fine. Again, I think I'm supposed to be doing that, but I was out in front. I just feel like I was just protecting my community and against all this stuff that coming after us. And and not a lot. I mean, it's hard. I could feel it in my chest, my heart racing, but it was important to do. And then since then, people are like, thank you, Emily. And even now, as I'm running for Congress, I remember what you did. And it's just important to do the right thing. So that's what I'm probably most proud of.
Sounds like you are ready to stand up to Derek Van Orden.
Oh,
So
yeah.
you're ready for a good fight
I
because
already
that's what you're
have.
gonna get. I mean, that is conflict, right? He is all about conflict, and I think that that is why he gets the attention and why he ends up getting supported the way that he does by the people who support him, because he comes in guns blazing. He doesn't want to talk about anything. He doesn't want to fix anything. He just wants to be an angry person who's flexing all the time.
No, I've already gone toe to toe with him. If it wasn't that refugee, Tom Tiffany came after me too, Representative Tom Tiffany. Derek Van Orden threatened to defund the city of Eau Claire. I snapped back right away. I've been on the phone with him several times. I've been in his office in DC. It's fine. I'm not scared of him. I'm not scared of the staff. I'm not scared of DC establishment, the Democrat establishment. I'm not scared of big money. When you're standing up for the people, it's easy. That's my value, and I'm always going to do the right thing, no matter what. That's the thing. If you don't get on the money train, they can't use that to threaten you either. So, or the power train,
And you've always got the people to go back to, because when you're grounded in the people are always going to be there. And I love that you got doxxed and you were like, well, let me change my message. Most people would change their phone number. You changed your message and you talked to these people. I really truly believe that most people are reasonable. There are some crazy people out there, but most people are reasonable and they just want to be heard. And they just want to know that you're going to be there and represent them. And this leads me to my next question, which is really tricky, because once you're elected, you're a freshman, you've only got a little bit of political capital, and there is a lot of need in Western and Central Wisconsin. So, how will you focus? What will be your priorities once you are there in Washington, D.C., serving those folks?
I think, well, I'm going to continue to show up in the district. I think that's really important to stay grounded so I don't get sucked into the cult of DC politics. But policy wise, I look at money. We have to get big money out of politics. I feel like that's the roots of all evil is, we look at health, and healthcare is also another huge thing that I'm a proponent of. And I think we do need universal healthcare, whether it's Medicare for all or something else, but we have to get money out of politics because right now these corporations like AI right now, they're buying politicians. Like Rebecca Cook, she's taking AI money. So if she were to get up there, they're gonna be whispering in her ear. So we have to get, we need finance, campaign finance reform. And we need to actually, we have the FEC right now. We have these watchdog, committees, organizations that have been set up, but they've been gutted, and we have to allow them to do their jobs too and enforce these rules, like with super PACs, Citizens United has created the monster of super PACs, and it just allows, all this outside money to come in, and you don't know who's donated to the super PACs. And so I think that getting big money out of politics is number one, because we right now, again, it's frustrating to me to hear people say that right now. We have to, people in DC, electeds right now are saying we have to overturn Citizens United. We have to get big money out of politics. And yet they're propping up this candidate who's the biggest fundraiser. Like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth here, folks, and it's ridiculous. So, again, you can't say we have to get big money out of politics and then endorse the biggest fundraiser. And that's what they did. They went around and picked the biggest fundraisers in all these primaries and endorsed them. And now are finally more money to them. So we have to stop that. But it starts again in August and electing a candidate like me that's willing to stand up to that. But then so I can get the policy and make these to Congress to your question, I guess, and make those changes.
Yes. And I think people really need to recognize, and we do in Wisconsin because we're still neighborly, we're progressive, we still take care of each other, we're still small town, but we need to recognize that that this is about us. You know, you can't buy our votes. You, when we go to the polls, we are going to choose somebody who makes us feel a kind of way. And you, as a mental health professional, understand feelings. So what do you want the people of the third district in Wisconsin to feel like when they pull that lever for you? Not just think about, but what do you want them to feel like?
I want them to feel hope. And I want them to feel like they have the power, because they do. They do. The people do have the power, they just have to use it. So I want them to feel that power that they have. And when they do vote, like it matters. And that's what I just want them to feel, hope, and to know that they know their power, because right now they're telling us, they're trying to get us to believe that we don't have power, whether it's from the president or, to be honest, from the DC establishment. You know, they wanted to pick our candidate behind closed doors, but we have to take back our power. And so I want them to feel empowered, and I want them to feel hope.
That does not surprise me at all, because I think your whole story is about taking back your power, starting you know, when you were not political 10 years ago and finding a way to make it happen and figuring out how to serve and maintain hope and lead and inspire other people. Emily Bergilicious.
Yeah.
Bergie.
Bergie, yes.
Bergie, Bergie, I can't. Bergie. Yes, Emily Bergie. Thank you for taking time to chat with us today. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you wanted to mention?
No, I think
we had it all. We
got
it all?
Yeah, we got it all. I think just, you know, follow me on socials. It's great. You know, Bergie for Congress is my handle on most things. I'm on Instagram and Facebook and trying to get more on Substack, but I do have a YouTube channel again. Like that's so website, BergieForCongress.com to learn more. So, and hopefully if you live in the third, that I should come to one of my events. I have all my events on my calendar on my website. So find out where I am next, and I would love to meet you.
I love that. That's so convenient. So BergieForCongress.com, also on the socials, and we'll be posting this all over the place too. I look forward to hanging out with you over the months to come, because we are going to, there's going to be some intertwining here, I suspect.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you should come over here and come on the campaign trail with me. Get back in the saddle.
Oh, that would be so much. Western Wisconsin is so beautiful in the summer, especially the Driftless area. We can meet at Hillsboro. You could head back there, grab a beer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And they're planning an event in Lafarge and coming up in May, right down there. So
love it. It's a day. Could we grab some food at the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua?
Yes. 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 We can do it all. Yeah.
We can do it all. Thank you so much, my friend.